here with Keith McHenry. Today is the 22nd of June, and it's I guess loading up time for Food Not Bombs after a hot day downtown, Keith.
Well, it wasn't too hot today, but boy, yesterday was hot. It's nice and cool right now.
Any accounts of people having problems in their tents in the hot weather?
Basically, I went up to is that Austin? I went up to the Gulf Links camp yesterday, and it was 89 on the outdoor thermometer of my car. I don't know what that really means, but it was hot. There was not a soul there except for Jessica and Jeremy Leonard and one other guy whose name I forget now.
Were you allowed access to the camp, Keith? Was there a problem getting in?
Oh, my goodness. They tried to stop me, but, of course, I didn't stop. And they said, we're going to call the police, and Jeremy did. Leonard, go ahead. So I took out my phone. I already had my phone. I was taking photos. They said, you can't take photos because of invasion of privacy. And I'm like, there's nobody here. And then Jessica's like, oh, you've got to call first. I said, well, there's no way to call you. There's no phone number. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And then just one thing after another. And then I said, well, Jeremy, I'll just call the police myself. So he disappeared instantly. But he did, I got a nice photo of him holding his cell phone at me.
This was your first visit up there?
For this particular alliteration of the camp. I've been up there when it was the COVID camp, and it was much nicer back then, really well run, and they had canopies over top of every tent back then, and much more space and less people. I went up there because I've been getting so many complaints from people down here at the meal that it's just and unbearable up there. And a bunch of people like, Russell and, a bunch of my friends were sent up there, and they just forget it. It's not worth it to stay there. That's horrible. Then I had other friends who went up there, are staying up there, but one of them was reporting that the schedule of the van to come back and forth is so bad, she almost lost her job. She had to call a cab. She insisted, harass them until they got a cab and took her to her job. Mm-hmm. That's insanity.
What's the difference, Keith, between this camp and the one you visited, say, 6 months ago, run by the county?
Well, that one had had canopies above each of the tents, so it was shadier, and it was more space between it, and it had like a little shop where you could get free snacks and everything, and it was like, and people were there, and it was like more mellow. It was really interesting. But this one's run by the Salvation Army, so it's like not really that together. And then I went over to 1220, and it's River Street, and checked that out. And it's at least people can come and go out of there, but it's also hot. There's no trees above it. There were places for people to sit. There were no places really for people to sit much at the, up at the Gulf Links. Mm-hmm. And then of course they're emptying the armory. So, and the people that I talked to say they can't, not allowed to go in the armory to get out of the sun. So that's why everybody just leaves and comes downtown. And
they have to leave on the buses, right, or on the shuttles?
On the shuttle, yeah. There's like three or four vans that are up there, and that's what they use. And
can you take your car and park if you're a part of their parking program, or is there a parking program? What's going on with that?
Nope, no parking program. No, the cars were just the the staff who had the cars there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that was a shame.
Now I was told that the people who had been told in the Benchlands you should go up to this wonderful Golflands deal, or Lookout, or whatever it's called, the place you visited,
Yeah, Golf Links, a lot of people call it.
Golf Links, okay.
That they
were, if they didn't like it and they tried to return to the benchlands, they were barred from doing so. Have you heard anything regarding that, people being stopped from going back, anything of that kind?
No, I haven't heard anybody not being allowed to go back to the benchlands because, I mean, what would you do? There's nobody there to stop you from going to the benchlands. You know, what's going to happen? You know, the only thing that could happen is if you got up higher on the, you know, on the upper level, the cops will force you back down to the lower level, but that's it.
Now, the benchlands, I guess I always wonder about this. It's an occasional question I have.
Not with coffee, unfortunately, but ask Bo or Jedi if we have coffee, but I think we don't because there's no coffee outside.
Cool. Are you having a coffee shortage? I know it is 4 o'clock, kind of late in the day.
Yeah, I'm just answering people's questions, so
right.
I'm on my way. I'll see you in a bit.
So,
I didn't get any avocado money yet.
Any word from the are the bathrooms open in the San Lorenzo Park, or are they still locked and closed? And
the city ones are locked, yeah. They're even welded shut, actually. And, there's portable toilets. And that's what they have at Gulf Links. That's actually what they use for toilets at the whatever the other place is, the Salvation Army. I mean, the armory, when they were having the armory, it was, that was how they did that.
Now, there were three different camping situations, one inside the armory, one outside, and there was a third one up there. Was that, is my understanding correct?
No, there's only two ever.
Only two, okay.
Yeah.
A little unclear on that. I know we've talked a little, and I've been reading on Facebook about Alicia Kuhl, a Santa Cruz homeless union activist, having her vehicle towed, having to go back and get it out, and having your vehicle marked ready for tow. And I guess you or she have posted some different videos, or at least photos, on Facebook. What's the update on that?
Okay, so the one of the more disturbing things is that it was not marked for tow. Nothing happened. It just got towed. And it was like, so Draco was living in it, and then Draco left, wasn't in it. And then immediately after Draco left, early that morning, the police just towed it. And that cost us $771 plus gas money to drive it back down. And so then I encouraged Alicia to park it in county, in the county. That's what we've been, in fact, that reminds me, I've got to go to Safeway and give a woman money there so she can move her RV to county land, because you can't park in the city. They're ticketing and towing cars, even though the oversized vehicle ordinance is still being contested in the
Coastal Commission, yeah.
Coastal Commission, but they just started up the program anyway, even without the...
Any word about that program in terms of where it's located, what its bars are, how many people are using it, that sort of thing?
Oh, what, a safe parking thing?
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing going on. You know, you can go to... I see some people parked at the Catholic Church out of Aptos. I think that what they might, if to be really generous, it might be 20 RVs out of the probably 60 or 70 that were on Schaefer and the other 20 or 30 that were on Delaware. So most of those were confiscated by the city and junked. So that's over for them.
Have you been? Have you made a trip by Schaefer and up in Delaware recently? Or
yeah, I go out there because I got to. Stuff to do, and there's nobody out there.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Do they have signs posted banning parking, or are they just towing without signage?
They're towing without signage, and then, they're just taking vehicles. The government appears that it's just lawless at this point, and doesn't even pay attention to its own laws. So, that seems to be what's happening. And then, they are kicking out what is, they say, the county, Dr. Robert Ratner is saying that 252 people have been are being evicted from the shelters now.
That's the home key shelters or the room key or whatever?
The armory and between the armory and the Oceana, those are the two that are, I guess, and then they also, something in Watsonville. And then they already closed two hotels in Watsonville before that. So it's, and they're doing sweeps. I've been up, on both sides of the river, on 9 and so on, and everybody's been kicked out of there. And I just delivered a huge amount of food to Mama Shannon in the
Benchlands,
and she's really having a hard time, man. She's got COVID. So
is there a lot of COVID of any kind now spreading in the Benchlands or elsewhere?
I don't know. It seems like in the food not bomb situation, we're basically depending on unvaccinated individuals to keep it going because we're having such trouble with our vaccinated volunteers.
They're getting sick or they're just getting nervous?
No, they call in with COVID. That's the problem.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the only people that aren't getting COVID in our group are the unvaccinated right now.
Mm-hmm. So you're insisting on a certificate of unvaccination?
No, but certainly if you're unvaccinated listening to this broadcast, we need your help because that's really, we're relying on the unvaccinated to keep things going.
So will you turn away a vaccinated volunteer? Or?
Yeah, we need volunteers. Anybody can volunteer, we're certainly welcoming vaccinated volunteers. It's fine. But it just happens to be weird that right now our thing is we keep having people calling sick who are fully vaccinated, calling in sick with COVID. So that's been a big problem recently.
Any events coming up in the next few weeks that we should know about that Food Not Bombs will be supporting?
We're hoping that on the at 9 o'clock in the morning at the federal courthouse in San Jose, this coming Tuesday, the 28th, I believe, Commander X will be having his last court appearance as an incarcerated individual, and then we're going to pick him up at Santa Rita that night.
Really? So that's actually been decided, or is still up for grabs?
That's what the federal prosecutors have agreed to, and Chris Dolan has agreed to, so that's...
Remind us, I could tell you, but who Chris Dolan is and why anybody should pay any attention to that.
Well, Chris was had two cyber protests that he did, which is what he got arrested for, and is pleading guilty to some kind of combination of charges surrounding that. I think the biggest one is actually jumping bail, I think it was, which I'm sure, I don't know how Ed Fry feels about that. No one's really, other than Jessica York, who makes sure you know that every time.
I don't think Ed has never complained about it. I've mentioned it to him. I was a little ticked with Chris for doing that, but, Ed said, no, that's not a problem.
I'm not totally sure
I think he put up his house or something. I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, well, he still seems to have his house, and I don't know whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Ed Fry, we should say, is an attorney who's been involved in homeless causes and has his own been active in marijuana struggles for the legalization and has been also a defender of various activists in Santa Cruz. Anything else
for
to say?
For years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for decades, actually.
Yeah, decades. So, yeah. And so then, anyway, yeah, the... So what he did was a denial of access, or I'm not even sure what it's called, but...
DDS or something is the
word. Yeah, where you make it difficult for 30 minutes, the internet system and the web system of the county was... had a lot of people, I guess, all over the world you know, email in or do whatever it is that they do to shut it down for 30 minutes. And that was in protest to the, actually, oddly enough, the treatment of the homeless by the city, even though they targeted the county. But I'm sure it was partially, you know.
Well, Ed Frey's original protest in Peace Camp 2010, which Chris joined as a major media mogul and supporter, he did a tremendous amount of media for Peace Camp 2010, as well as getting arrested and sleeping there every night and getting sick there and struggling with the whole thing. The original protest was against the treatment of a Blind Bear Facer, Robert Blind Bear Facer, a 60-year-old Amish minister who was found guilty of sleeping on the beach. He had his kayak up there. He'd paddled down from Sacramento, and because he doesn't use, he claimed, motor vehicles of any kind. And they, you know, he was poor, like most people. And next year he designed the tent for the Occupy movement in Santa Cruz.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so cool.
So Chris was supportive of him and then became a kind of an international figure of mystery as he fled to different locations, Canada, Mexico. I think there was rumors he'd gone to other countries too, but I don't know
He actually went, mostly hung out in Toronto, uh-huh. where he met a novelist that he was sitting on a church steps for, and then that's how he ended up with a book, a movie about him, and he wrote a couple of books. But and then also he's involved in encouraging Anonymous to, to hack and disrupt Mubarak's website and or whatever it was in Egypt. You know, just participated in the Arab Spring in a cyber
is
way.
Is Anonymous still active, or is that a thing of the past?
From what I watch on Twitter, Anonymous is essentially a CIA front. So, because all it does is try to sabotage Russia, it doesn't sabotage anybody else. Huh. So, which gives me the impression that, because they brag every day about shutting down this Russian thing, that Russian thing. So that, to me, sounds like it's just a, if you were anonymous, and I'm not opposed to them harassing Russia, but they should also harass Ukraine, they should harass the U.S., they should harass everybody. So I get, but it's 100%, so far, every tweet I see is all about, bragging about disabling stuff in Russia, which may or may not even be happening. But never a comment about another country. There's like a lot of dictators in the world that could harass, including the dictator of Ukraine, which they're not doing. So
Tuesday in San Jose, in federal court, Chris, or no, you say it's up at some jail in what?
No, he appears before federal court to have the judge sign off on the plea agreement. And that's Tuesday at 9 at the Peckham Federal Building in San Jose.
And will you be?
And then that night, he will be, sometime that day or evening, he'll be released from Santa Rita, which is where he's incarcerated currently. Now, the other connection is that I have to Chris is because he also did a cyber protest against the city of Orlando when they were arresting Trudeau bombs.
In Florida,
and I was in jail 18 days there. I did actually get an anonymous email from somebody I had no idea who it was. That was kind of cryptic, which turned out to be an email from Chris. I discovered later, and I got interviewed by the local TV companies about it. It made the BBC and stuff like that. And that was another whole thing. And then I ended up in my last, in a FOIA thing that I was doing, I ended up getting a bunch of FBI documents about that event, including one document that has one of my drawings of paintings and illustrated, which I thought was really nice of them.
What was the lag time between your making the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act request, and your receiving any documentation?
Oh, in that particular case, it was, I got a FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force memo dated August 29th, 1988, that was sent to the San Francisco field office, which was declaring us a national security threat. And I got that in the last 12 months.
And when did you request it?
Oh, that was probably requested, you know, like 8 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I haven't gone back to talk to my connection about that and look at documents, which reminds me, I really got to do that. And so he apparently got 19,000 pages recently, and not all about Funabombs, because he's doing a lot of animal rights and other...
Who is your attorney, if you wish to say?
Oh, yeah, that's that would be Ryan Shapiro, and my friend Jeffrey Light, who's an attorney in Washington, D.C.
Now, are these guys pro bono, or are they paid?
They're not paid by me, but, they're Property of the People is the name of their organization, and they need money desperately, so anybody wants to donate to Property of the People. They actually, not long ago, got a bunch of documents surrounding the CIA's involvement in covert activity against Nelson Mandela. You know, they've been doing a lot of stuff on getting documents on the January 6th. That's easier to get documents about that, apparently. They're getting stuff right away. Because, of course, it's to the advantage of the Democratic Party to get those documents overall. Although I think they are starting to get a little nervous because some of it is showing FBI involvement in that. But I mean, definitely a lot of FBI involvement in this, whether it was, you know, directed or how much the FBI facilitated that action, I don't know.
Have you made some public statements about the war in the Ukraine, and so have I for that matter, but you certainly are more high profile than I am. Have you experienced any kind of attempted censorship, discrimination, or alternately support for the positions, which I take it involve denunciation of U.S. NATO involvement and that sort of thing?
You know, the only thing that who knows even what it is, but for some reason on our donation page, the link where you just make one-time donation disappears, you know, periodically. So you click on it and say, this is no longer a good link. And then, fortunately, people call me, and then I have to go back into PayPal and get the code again, and then I have to put it into change my web code and then upload it again, and then that person then donates, and then a few days later it disappears again, and then I have to do it again. But that's the only, and who knows why that's the case. It could be just some fluke in PayPal, but a lot of people are deleting PayPal accounts and Venmo accounts and other accounts of critics, you know. But the fortunate thing about me is that my social media and our presence and everything is so small that I don't think the authorities give a crap much. And, if I got real big, I'm sure I would be screwed.
Any local...
All I ever get is just, like, you know, liberal Democrats running bullshit things that they don't know anything about. But, you know, that's it.
Any local stuff from...
On Facebook or on Twitter.
Any local... I know you mentioned you really, one of your favorite spots, the Tabby Cat was kind of became out of bounds because they were requiring masking.
I was actually, I think they were requiring, they were also had like little signs saying you have to be vaccinated, which was, I thought, for left wingers, you know, we're supposed to be for freedom and everything, and against censorship and against mandates and against, you know, police state repression.
Have you seen,
it's just unfortunate that that the authorities have been able to, you know, fool people into thinking that makes some kind of...
Have you seen much more of that in other places than the Tabby Cat here in Santa Cruz?
In my personal experience, I was banned from seeing Josh, you know... Foodie for the People about Joe Schultz's indie Indie Joe's, even though I have like a, there's a section in there about Fruit Nut Bombs. So that I was never able to see that movie. And even though the Del Mar people go in unvaccinated, they demanded proof of vaccination. In fact, last time they demanded, their ad said that you had to have proof of vaccination and show your ID. I don't know what that was about. And then, so there's been that. There was and I got a bunch of requests to attend a meeting to create a new progressive alliance to fight all this downtown stuff. And I somehow regroup. I don't know what exactly, but, you know, it was all people I know and everything. But they held a meeting indoors, and you had to have proof of vaccination to attend the meeting. And then the most recent thing is Chris Cohn had a really, he and Alicia and I, he did a great job, Chris Cohn, of asking just amazing questions at K-Squid. But, you know, he wanted me to wear a mask in the interview, even though everybody else in the room was vaccinated. So I think that's kind of funny.
He was asking questions of you or of someone else?
Of me and of Alicia. You know, it was a 30-minute interview. He did it. Yeah, so we were just live on the radio yesterday. And he did a great job. It was really good.
And that's still archived, so people can hear it if they want?
I have no idea, but I hope it is, because it was it just somehow the rhythm between Chris and Alicia and I, and the it actually detailed, you know, Alicia's towing of her car, the oversized vehicle ordinance, you know, and the essential collapse of the economy and its impact on homelessness, you know, which is, you know, it just is growing and growing. I mean, like I say, I was just down at the Benchlands, and it's just getting crazy. You know, it's so many more tents all the time, and more and more people, and we're getting more and more people at the meal. And so, yeah, it's, you know, we're always stretched to the max with resources. And Second Harvest just has to shut down for 2 weeks for the holiday, you know, for 4th of July and for maybe inventory or something. So we've had to double up on food this week, you know, so try to handle the situation down at the Benchlands. Hopefully Grey Bears will still show up in their regularly appointed delivery.
Any reports from vendors downtown or along Beach Street? Because there have been... The vending laws are apparently now in effect, but I still see vendors on Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, well, a couple of vendors actually went and got the $200 permit. And then there's it seems like from my talk to musicians, they say that law doesn't have anything to do with musicians, which I hope that's true and it's good. And some people, it doesn't seem like they're heavily enforcing it yet. It may be that things are kind of, you know, I don't know. Other than the big thing is the towing of the cars and telling everybody to move to the Benchlands. But otherwise, police enforcement on low-income people is, in some cases, seems to be reduced at this moment. And I'm not clear why that is. Because I'm not getting as many complaints. All the complaints now are of ticketed vehicles and towed vehicles, more so than anything else.
Any indication that there is going to be any kind of move on the Benchlands? I know we've gotten the word from the city manager, that Matt Huffaker, that they're delaying it. He's giving various caveats, saying, well, we're doing this as we can, and we have hopes that this will be done, and sort of Susie O'Hara type language.
I found their public statement at the city council, his statements and Donna Meyer's, interesting, and that's why Rob wrote an essay that entitled "Santa Cruz City Officials Seem Puzzled by Reality," because they, you know, they were like. Mystified that people would go up to the, you know, to the Golf Links camp and then end up back down at the Benchlands. Well, it can be a bunch of reasons. You know, one, you know, and I was told by Jessica that, you know, people, that it was a low barrier camp, but you had to, you know, smoke meth or shoot meth or heroin or whatever you did off the premises. You know, you had to get in the van, go downtown, and do drugs if that's what you wanted to do. But, and obviously a lot of people there don't have any interest in that, so, you know, that's, but so it could be like that, you know, that people just, I don't know, but everybody I know who left the Gulf Links were just left because it was so unbearable. So then they were surprised that they showed back up to the benchland. So then, you know, there was a question like, what, and this was the thing that Matt, seemed strange about Matt, his comment is that he talked to the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department. Well, I'm not clear why, since none of the benchlands is in the Sheriff's Department jurisdiction, nor I don't believe the Gulf, you know, I think that's still in the city limits as well. And then the building next to it is, I think, a state building, technically speaking, because it's National Guard. So I have no idea why the...
Well, isn't the point that what Myers was questioning Matt Huffaker on at that city council meeting, I guess it was a week ago, that how are you going to stop these people from coming back to the benchlands? And he said he's conferring with the Parks and Rec to essentially become a police force down there. That was the impression I got.
Yeah, or that they have to fence it off. You know, there was some suggestion about maybe having to fence things off or something somehow to keep people away. Physical barriers, I think, was the term she used. But I get this sense that really, I mean, because also it's got to be realistic, you know, the economy is crashing. There's some, even on mainstream economic news, I was just watching something on CNBC about that they think that July 4th weekend, because of the high prices of everything, that essentially what normally would be a bunch of money for retailers and people like that will not be existing because it's too expensive, you know, inflation's so high and gas is so high and stuff that it's actually going to have ripple effect, and that could potentially be the beginning of what the authorities call people call a recession, which is really going to, you know, that's interesting. Then Michael Burry, who has been famous for predicting economic things and making a shitload of money out of it. I think he was featured in a movie about his success with outbetting credit default swaps during the housing foreclosure crisis. His Twitter account is claiming that all the indicators show a crash of many different parts of the economy greater than the Great Depression in the next couple of years, you know, but that could be sooner, so who knows. But anyway, we know that many more people are losing their jobs. In fact, they're actually, Powell and Jerome Powell at the Fed and Yellen at the Treasury are talking about that they need to, like, increase unemployment to slow the crisis. And then I run into people, I just ran into another friend who's got cut off on his food stamps. That happens all the time. And then he's like in the middle of trying to get his food stamps reinstated. I run into that tons. I run into it myself. I mean, I'm kind of burned out on trying to get my food stamps back. But, you know, because I think I'm at $12 now a month. And it seems like the system is collapsing in almost every level.
Now, you've been saying that for I don't know how many years, Keith.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems to be. I mean, it would be hard to, you know.
I mean, I'm
prices at $6 a gallon is obviously.
No, it's true. It's expensive gas. There's no question about it. Any other events coming up you want to talk about before I give you a chance to take a breather?
Well, the other thing is, if your food not bombs, it's like the bomb issue is getting really crazy. And, you know, there was like billions of dollars going to Nazis and others in Ukraine, which is hardcore. But there's, you know, there's a lot of back and forth threats between the United States and Russia about nuclear, you know, retaliation against each other, which is unfortunate. And used by Israel that and even bragging by Iran that they're getting close to having weapons-grade nuclear uranium, you know, processed in Iran, and therefore, like, a thought of that becoming an even worse war instead of, with direct confrontation between Iran and Israel. And then there's a bunch of rhetoric happening around Taiwan and China and the U.S. over there. So it's, like, very nerve-wracking that that kind of stuff's happening. Then they also ended up recently getting evidence of biological weapons facilities in Ukraine that were funded by the Pentagon and by investment companies in San Francisco that were associated with with Hunter Biden and the leak of all his documents, which is a shame. And and Russia definitely randomly does. You know, they just blew up a U.S. weapons depot in Ukraine, and just a sort of like as a symbolic screw you, we can do what we want. And and then you've got the Brookings Institute people and all them.
I'm gonna stop you here so you can maybe get a little rest between now and tomorrow, and me too.
Yeah, well, everybody should. We need volunteers. We need everybody. If you're feeling well enough to show up to help us serve, we need that.
That's noon at the, or a little earlier than noon at the town clock.
Yeah, about like between 11:30 and 11:45 at the town clock, 7 days a week. Yeah.
Thank you, Keith, and thanks for doing that.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye.